Savior, he can move a mountain. That's a fitting song that's going to transition to what we're going to talk about here this morning. This summer, I did a bit of mountain biking. I told you that. I got on my bike a bit, put some pictures on Facebook. And when I put those pictures on Facebook, there's this guy named David Tate, who works for Teen Challenge. He was here actually 2 years ago when they visited in the Calgary Center. And he said, hey, whoa, you mountain bike, if you ever in the Calgary area, come mountain biking with me. And I said, oh, actually, I'm going to be there next week. And so we arranged this time to connect. He said, well, first, before we go biking, let me show you the center. And so I have a picture, actually, of David Tate and I here. And there we are biking. But that's, we went to the site. And that's like where the footings have been poured. And I guess to understand, like we got some new pictures of the walls that have been built anyway now. And there's a lot more to it. And it's amazing. He showed me the old house that they were in and the new facility, which is going to be astronomically better than the old one. It's like if you've seen those extreme makeovers where, you know, like there's the shack and then they put like a huge, it's going to be so amazing. And they're going to be able to make Jesus even more famous after they get this facility. And I understand they're like 3/4 of the way there with finances and stuff like that. And talking about moving mountains, I sat with the national director at Red Robin in Edmonton last year of Teen Challenge, and he was talking about the mountains that they needed to move, that God needed to move to actually get that facility. And here they are now, even with the finances. It's just amazing. So, like I said, what I love about Teen Challenge is it's not necessarily about Teen Challenge. It's all about Jesus, and that's why Jesus is blessing it, right? Because it's all about him. And you're going to hear these stories of these guys, and they're going to exalt Jesus. Talk about some of the places they were in, this place that where they came to this realization they needed Jesus, and he came into their situation, and he rescued them. So I'm going to give it to Jason Primrose. This is a co-worker of David Tate. Yep. I just met Jason, and he's a graduate of the program, and he's also kind of the team leader today, and you're going to take it from here.
All right. I just about said everything I needed to say.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I seem to be stealing people's material today, so it's just the MO. Sorry.
You must be a pastor. You like talking. Nice. That worked good, because I usually get nervous when I get up and speak. So, what was I going to say? I had something cool to say, but I forgot about it. It's getting cold. I'm pretty cold, so winter must be around the corner.
Yeah!
Yes. Well, I hope you guys are awake, because if not, we'll wake you up here. I got something pretty cool. Have you guys ever read Matthew 7? Well, Matthew 7 says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. And this verse is pretty cool to me, because some of us are a little unfortunate. And when I was 13, like, you know, everything I went through in my life, my mom, when she got out of jail, she let me and my sister smoke marijuana at home. And that was normal for us, right? And so my life went downhill after that. The cool thing about my story is, it's not cool that I was in jail, but what God has done in my life. And I was in jail in 2010. And this scripture just speaks highly to me, because when I was in jail, I was never brought up as a Christian. Like, French Catholic was, you know, going to church once a month, once a year. And so I ended up going to chapel in jail, because there's coffees and donuts. And I got to meet God there for the first time. And it was super cool, because this guy came, he shared his life testimony and how God changed his life. And I was like, wow, if he can change his life, must be able to change my life, right? And that's how I met God. Like, just so cool. Like, you know, it's a shame that I was in jail for what I'd done, but God called the weak, and he's definitely equipped me to be here. I have a story to tell and to hopefully change people's lives, right? So when I was in jail, when I went to chapel, I actually went down to my cell back, but I had to go back to my cell, right? Because I'm locked up, obviously. And I prayed that night, and I was just like, man, I don't want to live this life anymore. Like, what do you got for me, right? And like literally the next day, like the guard came around, brought the book cart, and I ended up picking up a book that said drug deals and delivery. And it kind of spoke to me because that was my life, right? There's like pictures of guns on there, and it was just like, oh, cool. Like, I'll just read this, right? And in there, I read a testimony about Teen Challenge. Like, just how does that happen, right? It'd be foolish for me to say that there's no God, because, like, I didn't know God. I prayed, I asked, he gave it to me. Just gave it to me, right? So it didn't change right away, overnight. It took a couple years, but I entered Teen Challenge 2012, 2013, and graduated. That's 7 years ago. I haven't looked back since. So my name's Jason. I'm the development team leader. The team I have with me today, Tyler must be in the bathroom. And he's a graduate of ours, and he's a staff as well. We got Joel. He's a student. Ian and Luke. And they will share their stories, and hopefully they'll be touched by them. So, yeah, pretty cool, you know, going into Teen Challenge, learning about Teen Challenge. What is Teen Challenge? Does a lot of people know Teen Challenge here? No one? Okay, cool. Few people. So Teen Challenge, yeah, you know, it's just a big ministry that started about 60 years ago. And there's like 1,000 centers across the world. Like, that's crazy. You know, so it is a big ministry. Started in New York City, and the focus was to go after young teens, and that's why they named it Teen Challenge. But, I mean, I guess through, you know, the insurance or the laws, I guess they figured out that, you know, they have to bring in adults. I guess it's a total different ballgame when you're different dealing with kids and stuff like that. So, a lot of people, when they say, yeah, Teen Challenge, well, I'm not going to Teen Challenge. I'm, you know, 60 years old, you know. No, like, our age is 18 to 65, and we've had a few guys come in at that age, and I have a few friends that are older now, and just God has changed their life, right? So it doesn't matter how old you are. Actually, our average student is 31 years old. So, yeah. Has anyone read Crossing the Switchblade before? Nice. Well, if you haven't, we have some. And if you'd like to read more of how Teen Challenge started back in New York City, it's actually a pretty cool story. Like I said, I don't read much books, but it was a very interesting book to me. And just to see what God has done, and just from the start, and I'm just a little, you know, speck of the puzzle here. There's so many lives that have been changed, and I can't speak for everyone else, but I know that Teen Challenge is a big part of my life, and I didn't stick around after I graduated. I went and become a plumber, and kind of was in my face, like, hey, like, go back to ministry. So sometimes it's kind of crazy. Like, I never thought I'd be in ministry, but I am now. And plumbing's always going to be there, right? So, yeah. So, we'll bring up a few guys to share their stories. And, you know, we're here to talk about not, you know, the reality is that there's people come across addictions, and drug and addictions is very big. And, you know, like, I got a stat here that says that 9,000 Canadians died from January 2016 to June 2018. So that's a lot of people. It's just crazy to think, like, you know, that I didn't care what people told me back then, but and nothing could change me. If somebody said, oh, 9,000 people died, that wouldn't have just changed me, right? But to see that now, it's just like, man, I'm just so broken. It's just disgusting to, you know, hear that. My mom's a drug addict today. My sister's still a drug addict. So It's very scary. It's the reality. You know, I hope you're very aware. And it is a possibility. You could say, yeah, no, I'm not addicted. But then you shortly find out you are, right? So I will bring Brother Joel up here and share what God has done in his life. So if you welcome Joel. Joel. Is this okay here?
All right, good morning, everyone. My name is Joel. I have brought the average age up at Teen Challenge in Alberta. I am the senior student there as far as age goes. So I'm from Whitecourt, Alberta. I was born there, and I'm 49 years old at the time. Now, I've been in Teen Challenge now for about 3.5 months, so I'm pretty early in the program still. This is very new to me up here on stage, my second time as my testimony, so bear with me if I stutter and stumble. I was raised in an average home, and church was kind of a hit and miss for me as I grew up. I went to Sunday school with my grandmother till I was about 10 or 11, and then I just lost interest. It wasn't a thing for me. So by the age of 13, I was starting to do some drinking with some of my friends. What I found is this gave me more confidence and made me a more social person and had more fun that way, I thought. School had always been fairly easy for me, but some friends of mine and I, you know, we wanted to just enjoy sports and partying a little more on the side rather than, you know, our education. I'd always had a girlfriend, like, through high school years, and but this one relationship just left me with kind of a negative attitude towards relationships, and I was not a nice guy. I just didn't respect women as I should have after that. I just had a negative attitude. Now, I've always worked as well. I started with a paper route and long lawn work and things like that. By the time I was in grade 12, I pretty much had a full-time job at that time. At 19 years old, I'd bought and owned a gas station that I'd been working at for 4 years previous. But at this time, my drinking had escalated, and I also discovered VLTs in bars and lounges. Sadly, I was hooked. I spent almost all my days drinking and chasing my gambling losses. And it was with any money I could get my hands on at the time. I'd also invested a fair bit of money at that time for me in the stock market, and I ultimately ended up losing everything and then some. I'd had a common law relationship during this time, and after 5 years, we split, as we had nothing in common anyways. And my life went into a tailspin then, and I was drowning my sorrows and partying. It wasn't that long after that my split that I actually met the lady who's my wife today still. And we were married a year after we met. We have two beautiful daughters now who are 18 and 14 years old at this time. I tried to hide my drinking and gambling from my wife, but that didn't last for long. Almost all that I did regarding my addictions was done in secret, especially when I discovered online gambling. Usually I would drink and gamble almost my whole work days away, from the time I got up in the morning till I decided to come home from work at night. I couldn't fight back the urge to get back again at it the next morning. All my waking hours, and usually when I slept, were consumed by alcohol-fueled gambling or the thought of it. Satan's grip definitely had a hold on me. I lived in fear of being caught regarding the truth about our financial state for the last 15 years of my life. Because I controlled all the money in my family, my wife didn't really know the extent of our dire situation. However, she knew something was up. She was at her wit's end with me. She literally cried out to God to take all the pain and suffering from her hands that I had created in her and my daughter's lives. Well, not long after that, God intervened in me and my family's life, and he unveiled all the lies that I had been living with for the last 20 years. In 2017, I lost my job, which had supported our entire family. We went to zero income in a heartbeat. We lived on our credit cards, cashed in RSPs, cashed in any insurance policies, and borrowed from family members. During the past 2 years, I've also been to two rehab programs for my alcoholism without success. I lived with so much guilt and shame as I was stealing all the time I could from my family that could have been made, the good times with my family and loving them like they needed to be. They were lost to my selfish drunkenness. My wife and I started going to the Alliance Church in Whitecourt about 2.5 years ago, mainly because she was searching for something. I went along to church with her because I knew I needed something, I just didn't know what at the time. My wife was already a believer, but I didn't understand the difference between God and Jesus at that point. So my personal search began when we took a course at our church called Apprenticeship with Jesus. I did a men's Bible study class as well at the same time, and I began my quest and journey with the Lord at our church. Ironically, my wife thanks me today for the mess that I created in her life, because without that, she says that her walk with the Lord would not be as powerful as it is right now. And she stuck by me through thick and thin. Teen Challenge did an outreach at our church not long after we started going. And coincidentally enough, the first testimony that I heard was from a Teen Challenge student by the name of Joel. There are no coincidences in God's world, however. And at the time, friends of ours at the church were also sponsoring students at Teen Challenge as well. When legal issues started becoming insurmountable in my life, I began to seriously look into Teen Challenge. I wasn't gambling, but I was drinking every day still. I knew that I had to be stronger in my faith if I was successfully faced the battle that was ahead of me. 7 months later, I walked in the doors to begin my Teen Challenge program. From the time I walked in, I honestly felt a peace and calmness that I'd never experienced before in my life. I'm enjoying every moment here, and I'm taking in God's love and forgiveness as much as I can. I'm praying for other students in the program rather than holding grudges against them. My self-awareness when it comes to sinning almost surprises me. It makes repenting a whole lot easier. Overall, I feel emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually stronger than I can ever remember. And I feel blessed to be here and to have a wife who is supporting me in my journey and is very strong in her faith. I don't know what my future looks like or holds for me right at this time. However, I do know that God is in control, and I have totally surrendered my will over to Him because I trust Him with all of my heart, my mind, and my strength. I also thank Him for His love and support for me each day. I want to thank you guys so much for listening to my testimony, because without support in both prayer and financially, Teen Challenge would not exist, and guys like me would not be getting the help that we need or the changed life that we need even more. I would like to leave you with a scripture that means a lot to me at this time, and that's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In every way, submit to Him, and He will make your paths clear. Thank you all.
Thanks, Joel. That's the first time I heard his story. I mean, I worked on it with him, but yeah, it's pretty powerful. Really appreciate you, Joel. And, you know, God does have a plan and a purpose for everyone's life. And who would have thought, you know, I'd be up here, you know, when I was a bum on the street, in and out of shelters, just kind of crazy, and that's what Teen Challenge does. I mean, I'm not going to bash other programs. My dad actually has been a recovered addict. He left when I was two. He's been working for a treatment center downtown Hamilton, and you know, it's just I think it's 60 days, but their success rate is 5 to 10%, and the guys that come in, they're allowed to go out into the city. They have to go to meetings, stuff like that. They still have accountability, but to me that just seems a little hard. Teen Challenge, the thing I like about it is 12 months, like a whole year. It took me 3 years to be able to go out to a restaurant, you know, maybe there was a bar there, like a pub or whatever, and just be able to sit down and, you know, communicate, not think about other stuff, right? Like that's a long time, 3 years. So I definitely needed a year. Teen Challenge is 12 months in order to graduate. If you leave early, you do not graduate. 12 months you come in, and, you know, Teen Challenge is based on the Word of God, Jesus, right? Like, Jesus changes lives. And the thing about Teen Challenge is that were non-government funded. That's the truth. And the reason for that is if you were government funded, so like my dad's program that he works at, they're allowed to smoke, they're allowed to have their phone, can't talk about Jesus, you have to talk about, like, you have to be open to all religions, right? Not putting it down, but I'm just saying that I believe strongly in Jesus. Jesus changed my life, and there's no question about it, right? That's pretty powerful. You know, you come in for a year, there's three phases to the program. You come in, let's see here. It's been so long since I've done the program. You come in, it's kind of an introduction for 3 months, 4 months. Once you go into the next fourth month, that's when they start bringing you out, speaking your testimony out in churches and stuff like that. And then the training phase is the second phase. And, you know, you can go out, work. You have passes, you know, you start off with like a 6-hour pass with your family kind of thing. And then the transition phase, that's the last 3 months of the program. Very cool, getting close. How am I going to get back into the world? You know, so like for me, my transition was I was going to go to another program. I got to learn a trade. I went to a Christian program. It's called the Battle River Ranch Camp. And that was my transition. It's a 5-month program. You can learn all sorts of trades in a Christian environment. It's out in Lloydminster. It's a pretty cool, if I went back, like just back home, I feel like maybe I wouldn't have been ready. So it was a good exit plan. We also have phase 4s and phase 5s. So once you graduate the program, you can become a staff. You still live at the center. You just have different rooms. And that's a good transition. You know, it's just taking time to slowly go back out. You might get a phone. You can go out a little more. Rules are less, but you still have accountability. I think that's very powerful, not to just go back right away. And, you know, if I had a phone and if I was smoking cigarettes, I'd just, you know, I wouldn't be focused on what I was there to do, right? And a year is a long time. Sometimes people just think, like, man, can't do a whole year. Like, are you crazy, right? But, yeah, it definitely changes life. So when I say Teen Challenge is a nonprofit organization, the way we raise funds is by church supporters. And so one of the cool thing is we have a sponsorship program. So this is Joel's Beautiful Face. In order to get Joel's Beautiful Face on your fridge or whatever, wherever you want to put it, maybe beside your bed or wherever you want to pray for him. The cool thing about it is that, you know, you can sponsor Joel. It's $40 a month, or if you want to do a one-time donation, whatever. I'll have a bit of a story there. It means a lot to me, and I'm not trying to be a salesman here, but it means a lot to me because my sponsors became my friends. So when I was living in Lloydminster, I was becoming a plumber. When I was going to school, I was going to school in Saskatoon. So I'd drive, it's a 2-hour drive, right? So I wouldn't drive back and forth. So I'd stay in Saskatoon for 2 months, and my sponsors let me stay at their house. They're not my sponsors, they're my friends. They became my friends, right? And that's just so cool to just have that relationship. So you can send letters to the students that are in the program, and then you're invited to their graduation once they finish the 12-month, right? So if you say you graduate, you were to sponsor Joel, he's 3 months in. So sometimes people think, well, I'll sponsor for a year. Well, you'll sponsor Joel until he graduates, and then they'll send you another student. Once the 12-month is up, they'll send you a letter, hey, do you want to continue doing sponsorship? And then you can accept from there, right? Has anyone ever seen these before? Yeah? Okay, cool. Everyone has, eh? Sweet, sweet. What I'll do is I'll bring the Ian and share his story.
So, hello and good morning, everybody. So my name is Ian. I've been in Teen Challenge for 6 months now. I grew up in a Christian home in England, which is where I spent most of my childhood. We moved to Canada when I was about 13 and a half, and I was quite a high-strung kid and would get into trouble quite a lot for various things like, you know, not sitting still in class, disrupting other students, or just being a class clown. Kind of way to pass the time, I guess. I also struggled with a lot of anger issues, and I found it quite hard to get along with a lot of the teachers. So what I thought was funny was often not the case with the teachers. So as a result of this behavior, I got quite angry because I didn't understand why I was getting in trouble for having a bit of fun. There we are. I was bullied and picked on as a child when I went to boarding school, and I was there for about 2 years, which attributed to a lot of my anger problems. My father was in the British military, so we moved around quite often, which made it quite hard to make long-time friends. In Canada, so when we came to Canada, I was told by my school that I wasn't allowed back unless I was medicated and took counseling. So while taking these medications, I fell into a downward spiral of feeling sad, and that developed into depression. And as a result of this, I just figured I would take more than I was supposed to, just in an attempt to end my life. I was about 14 and a half when I came to this conclusion. And so starts my addiction. This didn't kill me, but it made me not have to feel the way that I felt. So by the age of 15, I was abusing my medications every day. And I started smoking, which began after I tried a primetime cigarillo. Don't know if you know what it is, but it's not really important. I was drinking here and there, but nothing too serious. When I was 16 years old, it was actually the first time I actually got drunk. I was smoking weed, you know, here and there, smoking and abusing my medications every day. So I cleaned up when I was about 18. And I was still drinking, but in my mind, I didn't think I had a problem. Yeah, so I thought, right? I got fired from a job for reasons that I felt were unjust, and started using all over again. But this time it got worse, and I started isolating from people. So I would drink and use alone now. I had a lot of anger in my heart towards my father, because when I was younger, I just felt that he didn't understand me and the struggles that I was going through. So we got into quite a lot of fights when I was younger, and I just hadn't forgiven him with how these fights had ended. So I had a lot of bitterness towards my sister as well, because when we came to Canada, she didn't treat me right, basically. Yeah. So in England, we were pretty much inseparable and best friends. And then when we came to Canada, we were basically enemies. So I didn't, So that was kind of hard to deal with. So I chose to forgive my father for the past. But it's only through the grace of God in my heart that I've been able to do this. The Lord has removed walls of anger and bitterness and allowed me to forgive my father. I didn't choose to forgive my sister till I was about 22 years old. Then I slowly began to trust her again. And now looking back, I realized that I was wrong to have been bitter and twisted with anger in my heart for so long. It took a lot of prayer and a lot of seeking the Lord for me to finally forgive. So I found Christ on my own when I was almost 18. I think I was a day away from 18. So, and I was actually in a drunk holding cell, which is kind of ironic. I got baptized when I was 18 and a half, so almost 19 when I got baptized. I was trying to get more involved with my home church ministries, so actually trying to be a Christian and do my part. But I just felt like I wasn't fitting in anywhere because of the lifestyle choices that I was still living. I just felt like I was being judged and condemned for claiming to be a Christian and not living up to it, basically. When I was in my 20s, which I still am, by the way, just in case you didn't know, I was struggling with deep periods of depression and anxiety. So I was drinking, using, and abusing medications in binges. And, you know, I tried to take my life when I was almost successful, actually, when I was 24. So I landed in the psych ward for observations and options for mental health treatment. So my mental health was getting worse, and I couldn't see a way out. So I was often in and out of hospitals. So when I was about 25 and a half, yeah, not too long ago, I used meth for the first time, which I actually found was very similar to the substances that I'd already been abusing. You know, and I was a binge drinker as well, so an alcoholic and a drug addict. I ended up on the streets for about 8 months in total, and I was once again heading down that path into my addictions quite strongly, but this time I had no plans of making it out alive. So this time I knew I needed to go to treatment. So I had known about Teen Challenge for quite a while, for about 10 years or so, because when I was younger, there was actually some Teen Challenge students that came to my church. I zoned out for a second. Yeah, so they came to my church, and I got to know the boys there, and they kind of shared what Teen Challenge was about, and, you know, kind of did a discipleship thing with them, which was kind of cool. So yeah, that's how I found out about Teen Challenge, and that's kind of what planted the thought in my head. I like Teen Challenge because two main reasons. One of the reasons is that it's a longer program, so it's 12 months long. You know, you got to deal with your issues at some point, and I think a year is enough time to deal with some of them, anyway. So yeah, that's one of the reasons, and the other reason is because it's a Christian program. When I say Christian program, I don't mean like, you know, the idea of Christianity, you know, or that kind of thing. I mean like an actual Christian program where you study the Word and, you know, you get devotional time in the morning and in the evenings. You know, they introduce you to Christ. If you don't know Christ, gives you an opportunity for salvation, which is really cool, and is actually founded in the Word, which is really cool to me. Opportunity for me to study the Word of God, which is pretty cool. So yeah, that's the two reasons I chose Teen Challenge. And since I've been here, I've grown a lot in my daily devotions. And I've gotten a lot stronger in the Lord. And I know that the Lord has changed my heart from being a very selfish and self-absorbed individual into one that actually wants to change. And I'm looking forward to spending the rest of my year here. And I know and I'm confident that God has a lot more work to do in me yet. I know that my relationship with God is being restored more and more each day. And I would love to serve the Lord in the best way that I possibly can. And right now, staying here in Teen Challenge and becoming stronger is what I truly believe that I need to do. My favorite verse is actually a really common one, but it is my favorite verse for a reason. It's Philippians 4:13, which says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And the reason why I like this verse and why it's important to me is because it's a reminder to me that it's not me that's doing this, but it is actually Christ in me that's doing these changes. Yeah, and that's good for a reminder in general, and it helps me remember that it's not my own strength that does this. Right? I tried that, didn't get me very far. So he's guiding me and helping me to make positive changes in my life. As I said, without him, I know that I can't do it. I'm also just going to share a psalm, my favorite psalm. So this is a pretty common psalm, but I'm going to share it anyway. So Psalm 23, "The Lord, the shepherd of his people," says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So yeah, thank you all for listening to my testimony and listening to me ramble on. And thank you all for your spiritual and financial support that you provide for Teen Challenge. Because without the support of you guys, we wouldn't run and we wouldn't be able to change the life directions of men and women that it does today. So once again, thank you all for your time.
Thanks, buddy. Oh, really appreciate you, Ian, sharing your story. you want to see Ian's beautiful face on your fridge? if you guys are, led to sponsor one of the students, I always try to bring a number. So I always have four with me. Go big or go home, right? I'm not only here to sell you on the sponsorship, but it is a major part of our program since we're a non-profit organization, right? If there was someone here that needed to hear our stories, and maybe it's like, oh, I'm struggling with this and I need to go to a program, and someone's life get changed just for us coming here, that means a lot more to me than just a sponsorship, right? God has us like Alberta Strong, and I'll let you know down the road here as I'm speaking. When I say Alberta Strong, it's awesome. Give you a little bit of stats. When I said, some short-term programs have a 5-10% success rate. With Teen Challenge, our stats are more like 50-60%. Survey 5 years after graduating, and positively contributing to society. So I would be one of those 5 years, going on 7 now. That plays a huge role, and that's, there's only one reason for that, and that's Jesus, right? I think what we'll do, I have a few things I'd like to share, but we'll leave it to last. We save the best story for last, and that guy is Luke, and hopefully he'll touch your heart here. So we'll bring Luke up here and share his story. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you. Hello, my name is Luke. I am 27 years old. I was born and raised in Sumas Mountain, British Columbia, a little native reserve down there on the mountain. Both my parents, they were born and raised in orphanages. They've just, moved orphanage to orphanage to orphanage all around the country until they found each other in the orphanage. Then they stuck it out with each other and got married, had 5 kids. I was one of those 5 kids. I grew up in a little bit of a troubling family, I guess. My mother, she gained this disease, multiple personality disorder, throughout her years of not knowing who she was, really, throughout the orphanages. She's got multiple names. I'm not fighting through telling you all of them. And then my father is, the way he got over his problems was drinking and drugs. He was a big alcoholic through my life, cokehead. And that's how he solved his problems. I was raised in the reserve. The reserve always had had plenty of incest and molestations on that reserve, which you had to fight through and get through. Eventually, I grew up, I got a little bit older. I got to being about 9 years old, and my father convinced me to start working at the lumber mill that my family, my whole family worked through. My mother still works there to this day, 30 years on. My father worked there for 45 years. My sisters worked there for 3 years at least, all three of them. My brother just left the mill like a couple weeks ago. So I got put in that mill about 9 years old, started working, packing shingles, bundles, making money for the family, give it to the family to support the family. And eventually I got to turn in 12 years old. I saw my dad passed out on the couch with a 60 pounder on the ground, cap open, right? And I saw the dog, walk over to the 60 pounder and tip it over with his nose and start drinking it. So I felt like joining the dog. So I started drinking that as well. And then that started, I guess, my alcoholism. I started drinking more and more. And then eventually, the government found me and my little sister in a ridiculous home, apparently. And they took me and my little sister out of the family I knew, loved, and cared about. All I knew. And they put us in a thing called independent living. It was, so they took me, I was 14, my little sister was 12. They took us down to town, Abbotsford, the closest town to Sumas there, and they put us in an apartment together. No social worker, just money for rent. They just told us, figure out how to get to school. So I had to figure that one out, and I did. The apartment wasn't a good apartment. It looks better on paper than it really was. It was full of drug addicts, drug dealers, and pedophiles, and you gotta protect yourself and your little sister out of those situations. The government never gives you enough money to survive, they just give you a rent and a little bit of money for food. So I thought I needed to make a little bit more money. I thought I had two choices. I thought I had to either quit school and jump back into the mill and start working, or graduate and sell drugs to the kids at school, right? And sadly, I took the easy way out. I did take the drug dealing, because I wanted to graduate. I wanted to push my sister to graduate. Sadly, that was that. And sadly, that is an excuse. I'm sorry for that. But eventually, me and my little sister did graduate. And when I graduated same year she did. I got held back a couple of years, but I just jumped right back into the mill, started working, and I moved back in with my father, even though that wasn't probably the best idea to do. But and he was going through hard times with his addictions. He was still drinking, he was still getting high. But I just wanted to see my father happy. The only way I saw him happy was when he was drunk and high, so I sadly fed his addictions as well. And because I just wanted to see a smile on that guy's face. But eventually, he was going through hard times. And the boss man, Tom Jones, at the lumber mill told him, "Keith, if you don't stop drinking 15 beers at work and the 60 pounder at home and bumping coke on the side, you're out of here." And my dad didn't take that seriously. He says, "I've been working here for 45 years. You ain't getting rid of Keith Warner, right?" And sadly, he didn't take it serious, and Tom Jones was serious, and he let my father go. And my father didn't know nothing but the mill. So when he got fired, he took it pretty hefty. He climbed to the top of the mill and rung the noose and jumped off the edge of the mill there. And success, you know, he got his point proven. You know, at this time, I was very angry, sad. I was going through my own drug addictions as well. But that just took it over the edge. I started doing harder and harder drugs. I was becoming a heroin addict. I was drinking more and more liquor, finding anything to numb the pain. And eventually I gained this disease recently. It's called epilepsy. I started having these grand mal seizures after my dad did what he did. And started just losing my mind. More hard drugs, more drinking. Doesn't help with the grand mal seizures. You know, seizuring every week in the hospital, pretty much every day. And then I was getting sick of life because life was just getting higher in the hospital. And I eventually found the tracks of Surrey, British Columbia, and walked down those tracks with a bottle of liquor and drugs in my veins. And I felt like following my dad's footsteps. So I laid my life down on those railroad tracks. And as you can see, it didn't work, right? But yeah, I lied my life down on those tracks. You know, apparently I fell into a grand mal seizure, flipping and flopping on the tracks. And a homeless man heard a lot of noise down the tracks, I guess. And he found me flipping and flopping on those tracks and pulled me off the tracks. He slaps me out of the grand mal seizure I was having, right? I woke up to this homeless guy yelling in my face. And he says, "What the heck are you doing? Like, you know, you look like a young guy that could have a good future, right?" And I was yelling back at him. I just said, "You ruined my plans of seeing my daddy sooner, right?" And then we just had this debate for a long time. He walked me back to where I was living at the time. You know, it was a good hour, 2 hour conversation. And I never even asked him what his name was. That's how ignorant and stubborn I was at that time. And when he walked me to my door, I just, you know, walked through that door, slammed that door on his face, you know, forget you, you know. And if I did let him walk through the door, he probably would have just faded away. That guy was an angel, I swear to you. Saved my life. And what did I do? I just turned around, hit the cupboard, grabbed the drug of choice I was going for, the liquor, kept on seizuring and losing my mind. And eventually, I was just in the hospital over and over again. I had a foster uncle, Dale, lives in Morinville. I don't know. I think that's close to here. That over there. He went through the program of Teen Challenge, and he found me in a hospital, seizuring out, losing my mind, and so, you know, he walked in. And I woke up out of the seizure, and he was about this close to my face, eh? And scared the crap out of me when I woke up out of that seizure, seeing his ugly mug, right? But, you know, he's a previous graduate of Teen Challenge. Success, sober, he's got his wife back, he's got his 7 kids back, he's got his farm back. Grateful. He's a good man. And he woke me up out of that seizure. He says, "You're going to Teen Challenge." I said, "Got nothing else." "All right, sounds good," right? And then, so yeah, he dragged me to Teen Challenge. I was stubborn at that time. I walked in those doors with a frowny face on my face, you know. But eventually, the Vibateen Challenge changed me, for sure. I was never a Christian, never knew God or Jesus, but when I saw these people walking around with smiles on their faces, jumping up and down for the Lord, I couldn't help it. I had to join, right, you know? So I started reading that Bible, and my goodness, what Jesus has done for us is amazing. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I flipped that coin, went right to Jesus when I started reading that Bible, right? And Teen Challenge has done a lot for me, right? I'm learning so much off these fellow students and the staff. You know, it's amazing. And since I've been praising the Lord and on my knees praying to the Lord, He's been blessing me through my life. My sister's recently getting married to a good man. My little sister, she found the good man and getting married. She's got a house. My mother is a good woman. She's sane. She's her name's Cindy now. I can't wait to meet her. My brother recently decided to go walk in those doors of Teen Challenge as well for his sobriety. I am so happy for that. He's my best friend. And it's just, it's amazing what the Lord can do for you when you turn to Him. And I got a favorite scripture too. I found one. 1 Corinthians 13:12. It is, "For now we see things only in a puzzling mirror. Then we shall see things face to face. Now I know things in part, then I shall know things fully as God knows me," right? And what I get out of that is right now, I don't know everything, and that's okay. You know, I'm content with what I know, and that's amazing, right? But eventually I will know everything when I'm at those pearly gates, right? I get to go to God, and I get to ask Him all the questions that I wanted to ask Him at this time, and I'll get those answers. And then I'll wonder why I even asked those stupid questions. That's what I get out of this verse myself. And, Teen Challenge, it's an amazing program. It's taught me lots. I've been in that program for about 10 months now, and I still got a lot to learn. And Teen Challenge is just the starting line, right? Just getting me started for the real world. Right, and Teen Challenge isn't really the challenge. I'd say the real challenge is waiting for me out there, and so I better be getting ready for that. Thank you very much.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah, sometimes I don't even know what to say after I hear those stories. So. Yeah, Luke is one of our senior students, so he's not a sponsorable student, but since he was a one guy, I just brought Christian, and I brought Elijah too, and they're sponsorable. So if you're led to maybe give up a coffee at Tim Hortons, or if you drink two, it's pretty much $40 a month there. Starbucks would probably get you two sponsors. Sorry. Okay, so when I was saying Alberta Strong, I'll close off with this. We're in a campaign right now. We got 12 beds. I'll actually flip to that. Okay, right there. So this is where the guys stay at. It's a 12-bed center. Pretty old building. It's kind of run down. We've had a few floods there, and it's basically falling apart. My office is all the way to the left in those little echo trailers. So I'd like a new office. And it's pretty cool though. But like I said, we're in a campaign right now. We're building a new center. We're going from 12 beds to 30 beds. It'd be 24 beds for students. And then the rest will be for graduates who stay on as a phase 4 and a phase 5. That's a $5.5 million project. And the board wanted us to raise 70% of that, which is about $4 million. The reason for that is because you don't want to start building and then stall out because you don't have enough funds. So we raised $4 million out of that, and we started building. We're going hard. That's the new, there's two buildings. One's going to be like, my office will be in there. Pretty nice. Yeah, chapel, like new chapel, new gym, new kitchen, everything. And then here on the lower end, that'll be the bunks where there's 30 beds, two big dorms kind of thing. And actually, we haven't updated our pictures, but we actually have all the plumbing in. We have the floors in, and we're working on the walls right now and the trusses. So we actually have enough money to go right up to lockup stage, which is, you know, windows, doors, interior plumbing, electrical, and the exterior done. And then hopefully we can raise that to 1.5 million here and build throughout the winter. So that's when I say Alberta strong. It's just crazy. They give us stats throughout our teen challenge across Canada. We have about 18 centers across Canada. Alberta is number one, including sponsors. And we've also seen, you know, when I say we, including sponsors, we're still, I think we, our average is probably three sponsors per outreach, where the national is, you know, maybe 0.25. So every four outreach they do, they get one kind of thing. So, and we're in a recession. And that just speaks highly, right? You know, that's, I just always keep saying Alberta strong. And you know, it's like I said, it's not about all the money, but yeah, it's just a huge blessing. And yeah, so I really appreciate your support. Thanks for having us here. Hopefully, we woke you up. And I'll pass it over to Brent here. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Our Savior, he can move a mountain. You can build a building, that's the easy part. But doing this on the inside, wow. Thank you for sharing your stories, gentlemen. And you've made us all reflect on our own journey with Christ as well, and thank you. I think every single one of us in here knows someone battling or have been impacted by drugs and alcohol. And these people do an important work that we at the local church level can't do. I'm not capable of doing what they do in a full year. We can do kid camp, right? But we can't do what they do. And they are extremely important extension of the local church today, and Christ-focused. And just amazing. Of the 5.1, they have 4.4 million now. God's just doing a great work there. And we want to bless you guys as well. We're going to take up a love offering for you. So if you would like to give to Teen Challenge, please give as the Lord enables. If you're not prepared, don't feel any embarrassment. We just want to help them in their journey and spur them along. Maybe even think about visiting the table and sponsoring someone. I know many of you here, I'm looking at many of you that already do sponsor someone, and that's part of your MO, and great. But if you want to join in that journey, go talk to Jason at the table. I'm going to pray for you guys, and then we're going to take up a love offering, and then we're going to close in a song. So why don't you join me in praying for Teen Challenge and every single one of these guys that are here. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for just hearing stories of your work in these men's lives. Thank you for how you've changed them. Thank you for how you've brought them to yourself and how you made yourself famous in their life. No matter where they were, what circumstances they were, we thank you, Father, for that. And I pray right now for Jason, for Ian, for Joel, for Tyler, and for Luke. I just pray your continued presence with them, your Holy Spirit would fill them, you would anoint them, carry them through the end of this program and teach them much about yourself, set them on a strong footing spiritually so that as they graduate, they would face the world with confidence that you are with them, giving the energy that they need to fight temptation. So I pray, Lord, for Teen Challenge. I pray that you would abundantly supply everything that they need, all the things that they need to carry out the work that they're doing. I pray, Lord, that they would get the rest of the funds to finish this center. And Lord, that you would be honored and glorified in that ministry. Thank you for the chance just to be part of it today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Yeah, sure. What we got? Okay, the ushers are just going to hand the plate around. Just stay seated, and then when we're done, we'll just close with one song.